Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
We are rolling here, and I want to give you kind of a roadmap of where we're headed. My buddy Jonathan Hutton from the Outkick 360 will be on with us breaking down all of the NFL draft. We will also have my other buddy, Jeff Schwartz, on in the second hour of the show breaking down all of the NFL draft as well. What do you think we're talking about today? All NFL draft throughout the entirety of the program, because it is finally here, and we are all excited to see what the overall impact of the draft might be. Also, in the third hour, the fifth annual Outkick listener draft. We will open up the phones. I will start the draft. We will have a couple of spots where we know we get basically get like the free square on bingo. We know that Trevor Lawrence is going one overall. We know Zach Wilson is going two overall. I will then make the third pick. We will then go around the horn with everybody who works on the show being able to draft. And then we will open up the phone lines and we will allow you to make picks. Let me do the math here. I think picks 7 through 32. So I will have the first two picks that I think we're going to win. I will make pick 3. Danny G will make pick 4. Dub will make pick 5. We'll then have Eddie Garcia making pick 6. So be on your toes, gentlemen. And then in the seventh spot, we will have Roberto, all of those 1 through 7, and then we will have 8 through 32 being taken and made by the Outkick crew, and we will see whether, as a conglomerate, we can do a better job than most of the mock drafts that many of you have been looking at and paying attention to over the past several months. And with that in mind, I have done a mock draft on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday of this this week on the show, and I now am going to give you my final top 10 mock draft for tonight's NFL draft to see exactly how all of this is going to go according to my last best estimates. Now, this is not going to be the official judged mock draft because I'm not doing all 32 picks. Just the top 10, the most discussed, the most valuable terrain, the most valuable land in the NFL draft, all right? And so we start right off the top. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville. We know that he's going to be paired with Urban Meyer. If anything, I think we're underrating how great of a story this is going to be and how interesting it is going to be to see what that relationship between Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer is going to be like. And I'm going to talk about this some tomorrow on the show because there are a lot of uncertainties now. But really, if you look at Urban Meyer, there have been coaches that go from the pros in college and back and forth, but only a handful of guys have ever won Super Bowls and have also won national championships in college. Jimmy Johnson was the first to do it. Miami wins a national championship, multiple, I think, wins multiple Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. Then you have Barry Switzer, who wins a title with Oklahoma and then goes and wins a national championship with the Dallas Cowboys, a Super Bowl, sorry. And then Pete Carroll, SC and the Seattle Seahawks. Can Urban Meyer become the fourth to do it? It is, I believe, a fascinating question to see how all of that could shake out going forward. I don't know the answer. Nobody knows the answer. But I do know that Urban Meyer is going to be in an intriguing position because he's getting to come in with the overall number one pick with a guy that, if you listen to the show earlier in the week, Trent Dilfer said Trevor Lawrence, basically on his breakdown, is just about as good as back in the day Andrew Luck was. And most scouts point to Andrew Luck and say he's as close to NFL quarterback sure thing as we have ever seen. Obviously, Andrew Luck's body took a brutal beating And ultimately, he decided he didn't want to continue with the Indianapolis Colts at a still relatively young age. But in the time that he played, he was an absolute revelation. He was an incredible player. The scouts were right about his ability. So, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall to the Jags. Number two overall, Zach Wilson to the Jets. This has become a understood number one and number two pick. I think a lot of people out there somewhat surprised that Zach Wilson ended up such a clear-cut number two. But those are basically two different three squares on the overall NFL draft board. In the third spot, I continue to look. I love to look at the odds makers out there. I'm going with Mac Jones. FanDuel has had Mac Jones as a favorite substantially for the last week or so. There's been a lot of movement in this line, but Mac Jones now around a minus 300 favorite to be the overall number three pick. I am going to ride with Mac Jones there. Kyle Pitts, news came out yesterday that basically the Falcons, a couple of different ESPN reporters said, hey, they're going to stick with Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. He's now over a minus 200. Dub, I gave you this one a while back, said I like it. You dove in. We gave it out to listeners. Fingers crossed that somebody doesn't give a king's ransom for this number four overall pick. But I feel very good about these first four if you look at the numbers. And then five, the Bengals' Ja'Marr Chase has become a pretty big favorite to be the number five overall pick. So I feel like the first five, I feel pretty confident in. Do you agree?
I do agree, and everything checks out in terms of logically, right? It makes sense for all the teams to take the players that you just mentioned. So I think the first five, I'm feeling pretty good about those.
All right, so from the first five, as we continue, I think the first real potential wrinkle in the equation here is I feel like somebody's going to trade up at this point. Because you've got the Lions, who nobody really has any idea what they're going to do. You know that the Dolphins don't want to go quarterback. And we're going to get to the Panthers trade and to the Broncos trade here in a minute. But there are quarterback-interested teams. And this may be a wild, outlandish idea. But right now, I believe that the Dolphins are going to trade out of six. I think the Steelers trade up. And I think they take Trey Lance. The more I think about this, Trey Lance is Ben Roethlisberger 2.0. Big, strong, tough kid, played in a lower level of competition, North Dakota State, lower level than Miami of Ohio, but both big, brawny Midwest kids who can handle Pittsburgh weather, big arms, can stand back there and take a hit, almost amoeba-like. I feel like Trey Lance could be Ben Roethlisberger 2.0. I think that the Steelers trade up to grab Trey Lance. Then the Lions, I think Dan Campbell feels like he needs some weapons for Jared Goff. They just let Kenny Golladay go and join the Giants. I like Swift at running back. I think that if you go get Jaylen Waddle at wide receiver, he could be a difference maker for the Lions. I think the Lions go Jaylen Waddle. In the eight spot, the Panthers have now traded away Teddy Bridgewater. I think they traded away Teddy Bridgewater potentially to go get another quarterback to compete against Sam Darnold. I could be crazy here, and this could be an outlandish idea, but I'm going with Justin Fields to the Panthers, which then means that the Broncos do not have a quarterback available to them, which is why I think they went and got Teddy Bridgewater to compete with Drew Locke. And they need help. I think ultimately you got a defensive head coach in Vic Fangio. I think that he goes and gets J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, who is the first defensive player off the board at nine. And then that leaves the Cowboys needing to go grab Patrick Surtain. I think we know the Cowboys need help at corner, and I think that is the direction that Jerry Jones will go. That is my final personal OutKick top 10. How would you assess this top 10, Dub? Do you think there's any big swings and misses? What adjustments, what edits would you make if you had the ability to change things?
Well, I love your idea with the Steelers trading up to get Trey Lance. I think that works super well. I kind of compared Trey Lance to Cam Newton earlier in the week. I think the comparison to Ben Roethlisberger works as well. And I think, I mean, the kid is 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger can still play this year. He can still start all 17 games. Got to get used to that, by the way, 17 instead of 16. But yeah, that would be a fascinating move, to say the least.
And look, if the Dolphins don't trade, then I think they stay there. And I think it's likely that they would go wide receiver. But this wide receiver depth outside of the first three seems pretty solid. They still have the overall 18th pick. They could make some more wheeling and dealing. I could see them making the move also to go grab Penei Sewell or Slater. But to me, if they trade back, they've still got two first-round picks. And I can see somebody like the Steelers falling in love with Trey Lance. And I also feel like the Broncos must be hearing some element of scuttlebutt, because if you thought you could stay at 9 and you were still going to have the ability to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, I don't think you would be trading for Teddy Bridgewater at all.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We bring in Jeff Shorts. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Shorts. He is a former NFL offensive lineman. He has a brand new television program, I think it's on TV. I can barely keep up with anything. I know I've seen it on digital clips. What are you working on right now, Shorts?
Yeah, so it was on TV. It debuted on Tuesday, Big Boys Club Draft Academy. And so originally it was it's a Gruden-style quarterback camp with four offensive linemen, right? So we took the five offensive linemen, the top two tackles. Trey Smith is probably a second-round guard. Quinn Miner is a D3 kid who's worked himself up into day two. And then Creed Humphrey's Oklahoma center, the multiple-time All-American. And the original plan was just for digital. It was going to be just for digital, 20, 30 minutes an episode, and ended up getting an FS1. So we kind of pared things down. We did a lot of storytelling on FS1. And then digitally, we're going to put out the full whiteboard talk, the full X and O's for all these guys. It's just hard to fit all of that in. And, we did this, I just filmed it, but the editing crew, they did this in a month. We had hours and hours and hours of footage, and they managed to get this done in a month. They did a heck of a job, and so it's a new series. I'm hoping that we do it next year. I think there's a lot of thirst for the offensive line position.
All right, so let's talk about the guys that you talked to that you got to know a little bit. What stood out to you about the two tackles that everybody is expecting to go in the first round? How would you break down their games, and what were they like as individuals?
Well, Penei Sewell, the kid from Oregon, who I've known for a while now, obviously being an Oregon alum, he's the best. And what makes him unique, I think, is his background. He grew up in American Samoa, and he grew up, I think like a lot do in Samoa, comfortable life for him at the time that, he thought it was comfortable. And I asked him, he moved to six, he was 12, what was one luxury item that we as Americans at the time take for granted that you didn't view as a luxury. He said a bed. He didn't have a bed, Clay, until he was 12 years old. They slept on the floor, all 10 people in his family slept on the floor in their one-bedroom shack in Samoa. So when you hear a guy talk about football like that, and he talked about football as basically, kind of like, not saving his family, but allowing his family some flexibility in life, and that, no one's going to take football away from him. No one's going to on the field. No one's going to keep him from his dream of playing in the NFL. And you hear a guy talk like that, it's deep down, right? It's really deep down. And so that was exciting to hear him talk about that. And then Rashawn Slater, the kid from Northwestern, man, his dad played the NBA for 8 years. He has a lot to live up to. And he's so cerebral. He's so bright. He's the most polished pass protector in the draft as of now for any offensive lineman. So it was a lot of fun to talk to those two guys. And, and Penei, by the way, is only 20 years old. He'll be drafted. Imagine being drafted and playing in the NFL at 20 years old.
All right, let's go to both of those guys for a sec, because it seems that the earliest one of them could go would be 5, potentially, to the Bengals. And that's one of the picks we've been talking about, for a while now. What is Cincinnati going to do? What do you think Cincinnati should do, and what do you think they are going to do? Because there seems to be a lot of momentum for Jamar Chase at wide receiver as opposed to Penei Sewell or Slater here. How would you break that down?
Well, they should draft Penei Sewell, but they're not. They're going to draft Ja'Marr Chase. And you know, I guess the theory behind that idea is that, you know, it's a very deep offensive line class, which I don't disagree with, but I would secure the offensive lineman that you like first, because we've seen that, you know, that historically those guys at the top of the draft tend to pan out a little bit better than do the wide receivers at the top of the draft. And you have an opportunity to secure Penei, but their thinking is, hey, we can, you know, draft a kid, Alex Leatherwood or Kosemi or Eschenberg. I mean, someone else with pick 38. And I wouldn't do that. I would drop the offensive lineman first, but they're not going to do it. They're going to draft Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow's probably asking for Ja'Marr Chase, and that's what they're going to do. Again, the best teams in the NFL all have great offensive lines.
We're talking to Jeff Schwartz. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. All right, tell me about the other guys, because there's a lot of different stories. Trey Smith coming back from a blood clotting issue, which threatened his ability to play. Like you said, the Oklahoma center, and then a D3 player that seems like he's got a heck of a story behind him too.
You would love the Quinn Miners, the kid from Wisconsin Whitewater, man. He had to pay to go play football. Like D3, they can't afford.
Yeah,
training.
There's no scholarships.
So he had to pay. Well, not even that. He had to pay to play football specifically because they can't afford to feed the team during training camp.
Oh wow,
he had to pay money.
Yeah,
and like and they won the conference championship, and he had to pay money for a conference championship shirt.
Oh wow!
Like they just didn't give him shirts. Like it's in the NFL and get whatever he wants. And you mentioned Trey Smith, and who obviously you've known for a while now. It's really tough to come in to a program. And not only was number one lineman in the country, he was the number one player in the country, right? In 2017, I believe. And that's a lot of pressure. And he plays a true freshman. He plays a true sophomore that had the blood clots. And you know, his mom passed away when he was 15, and so he's had a lot of adversity in his life. And the way he's battled through that. He's been great in the Knoxville community as well. He's a great leader on that team. He's very fun to root for. He's also like, he's a cowboy man. He works a cowboy and he hunts, he fishes, he plays video games. He's like a very well-rounded individual. So it was a lot of fun to talk to Trey. Very mature man. And he is a good player. Tennessee is lucky to have him. And the last one's Creed Humphreys, the center from Oklahoma. I mean, how many guys get to block for Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts at the time in Oklahoma? Like, that's pretty impressive to be in charge of an offense that's been that good for so many years. His dad was a wrestling champion as well. So there's a lot of family ties here with a lot of success in their families.
We're talking to Jeff Schwartz. All right, let's go back into the top of the draft where all of the drama has been. We know what's going to happen at 1 and 2. What do you think the 49ers will do? What do you think they should do with their pick?
I think they should draft anyone but Mac Jones, and I don't think they will. So it's really interesting. I never thought they would draft Mac Jones anyways, but the one name they haven't talked about at all is Justin Fields. And you follow draft long enough, so have I. But the guy you kind of don't talk about is the guy you end up drafting. For whatever reason, like, you're just afraid to talk about that guy because maybe the Jets want to draft Fields, and this will convince them that you don't like him, so they'll take Zach Wilson instead. The only guy that hasn't been linked to them is Fields. And a lot of times teams don't talk about the guy they're going to draft. We hear this all the time when a player gets drafted and they say, how'd you know the Tennessee Titans wanted you? They're like, oh, we didn't talk at all. They didn't come to my pro day. We didn't talk. Like, and to me,
they were so afraid. It's an interesting angle. It's like espionage. They're so afraid that if they let it be known how much they like a guy, that it could make another team go back and reassess, and then they end up taking him instead. Yeah.
Especially if it's Kyle Shanahan, right? A guy who's a legendary offensive mind. If he likes Justin Fields, the Jets are probably thinking to themselves, well, if he likes him, what are we missing with Fields, right? Why would he want Fields and not Zach Wilson? And also, this week has been very interesting because the Niners have, like, forcefully come out and talked about their quarterback position. And they talked about how they wanted one guy, and now they're okay with all five guys. So I do wonder if, even maybe if they did like Mac Jones, if there was a medical issue or something came up that changed their mind, because it does not make sense for them to not know who they're going to draft this late. And to even talk about it makes no sense. Like, why would you say, oh, you know, we'll be okay with anyone that we get? Like, it just there's some vibes I don't quite get from them. It's very odd, man. I don't remember a team trading up to this position and then just being like, I don't really know what we're doing. It's a very odd situation. I got a text from a source that said they should have waited until physicals to make this trade. I try to press them on that. I don't know what that means. There's no medical issues outside Justin Fields with the FOMC, which is, that's going to be an issue. I don't know. I'm curious what happens, because it's going to be wild tonight.
We're talking to Jeff Schwartz about the NFL draft, obviously. There's a lot of different moving parts, and one of the things that's fun is, like, I always compare it to if you're playing blackjack and somebody takes a card that they shouldn't at the table, it sets off the whole table into an uproar. Like, let's say the dealer is showing a six, right? Like, you should definitely not hit, but somebody at the table hits, and then it just kind of sets off a cascade of reactions that otherwise wouldn't have occurred, right? So is there somebody out there that you could see making a move that changes everything? And I'll give you an example. If, for instance, you have the Atlanta Falcons sitting at four, and we expect that they would take Kyle Pitts, but somebody suddenly comes running up to try to grab one of these quarterbacks, because right now, as your point on Justin Fields, it seems right now the odds markets are telling us, at least from a gambling perspective, that it is more likely that Trey Lance goes in front of Justin Fields. But as you said, if the 49ers suddenly took Justin Fields or didn't take him, or Trey Lance they took or whatever else, like, everything else kind of falls apart behind that, right? So who's a player or a team that you look at and you say, man, I think they could really make a move that's unexpected that kind of reconfigures the entire draft board?
Well, I mean, it's the Jets taking Justin Fields at two. I mean, which just seems very unlikely. But that's the one that would set everything off in a spiral, which I don't think is going to happen. Atlanta's really fascinating because there are teams that want Kyle Pitts, and I don't think Atlanta will take a deal to move out of that spot. They want Kyle Pitts. They'll just draft him. And once you get past, there's always a quarterback that seems to free for all. And if it is Justin Fields, and it's not Chris Sims, it's not going 32nd to Tampa Bay. It's once you kind of clear four and you look at the Bengals don't need a quarterback, the Dolphins don't need a quarterback, maybe the Lions do, the Panthers maybe, maybe not, and the Broncos. Someone, Washington or even maybe a Pittsburgh or maybe a New England, like someone might trade up to five or six or seven to get Justin Fields if he does drop. I don't quite get it, Clay. Like, we look at Fields, and I don't know why we've decided he's the one that's not any good. You watch his film, you watch him play Clemson, you watch how tough he was, he played a big boy offense, and he entered this process as the second quarterback. Now all of a sudden, imagine if he played at BYU. He would put up Zach Wilson numbers. Like, I don't quite understand why we're down to this. Unless there is something with the interview process, or there's another medical issue, or Ryan Day doesn't like him. I mean, I there could be all these other things that are happening behind the scenes to push him down, but I just don't see it based off his film.
I watched him play every game this year for Ohio State, and you're right about the game that he put forward against Clemson. It was as good as anybody could possibly play. But there were several games where he didn't look anywhere near as good as a junior as he looked as a sophomore to me. Now, this goes into how do you assess a COVID year in general, right? Because Ohio State didn't get a lot of practice. They didn't play enough games to really kind of hit their stride, it didn't seem like to me. You didn't know who you were going to play sometimes, right? Like, you got COVID testing going on everywhere, and the Big Ten just, totally bungling that process for a long time and not knowing. I mean, same thing, by the way, in the Pac-12. I think Penei Sewell, for instance, could be being hurt because he decided to sit out. And even if he had played the Pac-12 season, they didn't play enough games. I wonder if that makes it harder to assess. And there's just some, in Fields in particular, like, I can go to three of the games probably that he played last year, Jeff, and just look at it and say, man, they did not play well offensively. I mean, an easy one is Indiana. He got outplayed by Indiana's quarterback.
Penix played
way better than he did. And I don't know. I wonder. We've talked about this some. We haven't heard the concept of a system quarterback be discussed in a long time. But I think you could say that about Mac Jones because of how good Sark's offense was and how much talent there was on Alabama. And then Tua comes into the league and didn't set the world on fire. I think it's fair to say as a rookie. And I think you could say the same thing about Ryan Day in Ohio State. And because of Dwayne Haskins and what happened there, he comes in his second year, and he's already done with Washington. So there's a system quarterback argument that could be made about Alabama and Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, and I get the inclination to do that. You know, but we've had some trend breakers, right? I mean, Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech kind of broke that trend.
We don't hear the system quarterback pejorative anymore, right? That was something that I think really got tossed around a lot in maybe the late, you know, the basically from like the late 90s up to the mid 2000s or so.
And I think it's because the position is changing, right? We like the college film, but we project the traits into the NFL. So I'll give you a lot of examples here. So, you know, Mac Jones and Mina Kimes at ESPN does a great job. She had a great tweet about this. She said, give me a comp for Mac Jones in the last 5 years that worked in the NFL. Because what we're seeing now is that the traits guys, right, the big arm guys, the big strong guys, the, you know, the mobile quarterback, look, Herbert, Allen, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Kyler Murray, right? These traits quarterbacks. And Kyler Murray's not big, but he's got a big arm. These big trait guys. You know, maybe their film wasn't perfect in college, but you get him in NFL offense. You get him with a good OC, and boom, they click. You know, Mac Jones 10 years ago, to your point, Clay, was the number one pick, right? Solid pocket quarterback. You trusted him. He played a pro-style offense in college. He's able to come in right now and play. And he'd be number one pick, and no one would talk about it. It'd be boom, done, right? Trevor Lawrence, he's too tall. No, you know, no tall quarterbacks win the NFL. I don't know. He runs too much. Is he going to stay healthy? Like, all, you know, all those questions would have happened for what? Zach Wilson, too small, runs too much, makes too many throws off platform. And now that's what we want in quarterbacks. We want the traits guys. We want the guys that you can come in the NFL and say, hey, you have all these tools. Let's refine them. Mac Jones kind of is who he is. And that's why I think Shanahan is not going to draft him. I don't understand trading up two, you know, your next two first-round picks for a guy who's the lowest trait quarterback of these five guys. Now, yes, he's very bright. He knows where he's going with the ball. But I can argue that offense kind of makes it easy for everyone to know where he's going with the ball.
And here's the argument I've been making, Jeff, and I'm curious about this. If he drafts Mac Jones, this is Kyle Shanahan drafting Kyle Shanahan. And let me explain what I mean by that. He's so frustrated, I think, right now. He feels like he has a Super Bowl team. And Jimmy Garoppolo can't make the throw that needs to be thrown at the right time to win a game, right? You go to the Super Bowl, you were there, your brother was playing in the game. He's got George Kittle open on a third down play. He's the lead receiver on that play. He misses him. He's got Emmanuel Sanders for the touchdown that would be basically the walk-off in the Super Bowl. He misses him. Those are, and I don't sit around and watch X's and O's anywhere near like you do, Jeff, but I can just see the frustration in Shanahan where he's like, hey, we've built a team that can win a Super Bowl. What we need to do is just have a guy who can execute the offense, who's going to make the right read because my offense is that good. And I think if you look at the available quarterbacks right now, Justin Fields and Trey Lance have more in common with Jimmy Garoppolo than they do with Mac Jones. And I think this is like the when you break up with one girlfriend or one boyfriend, you go in the opposite direction. I think that what has happened with Kyle Shanahan is if he's drafting Mac Jones, he's gotten so frustrated with the decision-making and the failure to see the field well at the time that they need to with Jimmy Garoppolo that he's going with the one guy that he feels certain is never going to miss George Kittle on third down when he's the lead option to extend a drive.
Well, you are exactly correct with that thought process, right? He's basically choosing scheme over player. And you're right. In the Super Bowl, you could easily make the argument that Kyle Shanahan's offense got the guys open and Jimmy did not execute, right? So Shanahan looks in the mirror and says, it's not my fault. not right. my fault. It's Jimmy's fault. And I told you this. We talked about this.
Yes.
I think that day Jimmy was never a Niner again. Like, as soon as they were getting off of him, they're getting off of him. And I was up. So, and then you ask Mac Jones, maybe he makes those throws. But, like, Justin Fields probably makes that throw. We see him make that throw all the time. The, you know, deep pass over the middle of the field to Emmanuel Sanders. Like, Fields can make, and Fields can also run away. Trey Lance can make those throws and run away from him.
But I get it. But my thought is Kyle Shanahan is just so enamored with Kyle Shanahan's offense that he wants the guy that is going to be 100% the most likely to just execute his offense. And I think he sees Mac Jones as that guy. If that's the pick, that's why. Now, the question I have, and I think this is a good one, did he think, Kyle Shanahan, that there were other teams that loved Mac Jones? Because you were talking about how so much of this is subterfuge and espionage and, you know, who's talking and what stories are out there. Who was he afraid of also trading up to go get the quarterback that he wants, whoever it is? Because the one thing I don't believe is I don't believe Kyle Shanahan when he says, hey, we like all five quarterbacks, like, we're fine. You gave up so much to get to three. You had to know, hey, we love somebody who we want to take at three. And I will say this, like, some people are going to criticize if it's Mac Jones. It doesn't matter what you give up. If you get a quarterback who plays for you for the next 12 or 14 years,
it's worth
there's
it.
Literally no cost you can give that's too Correct. Much if you're right about the right quarterback.
I am all for the idea of trading up to get your franchise quarterback. I just don't think it's Mac Jones. I like the thought process here. I think maybe he thought New England would trade up for him. I don't really know
who he was afraid of. In other words,
If Mac Jones falls past three, who's drafting him?
That's what I'm saying.
No one's trading up for him. So it's like very
unless Kyle Shanahan had some intel, and maybe the New England Patriots absolutely love Mac Jones, and he got to thinking, hey, the Patriots are going to move up to five, or they're going to move up to four, and they're going to grab him. That's the only thing I can think. And obviously, we are all operating under imperfect information because it's like a poker game where you can't see the – it's not like you get to sit and look at everybody's cards and figure out exactly what they're going to do. Jeff, enjoy the draft. I'm glad that it's finally here. I'm sure we'll talk to you next week and have fun doing – you're doing Fox Digital stuff out in L.A., right?
We have a draft show tonight, so check it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
All right, boys and girls, it is time for us to try to make Outkick history, the fifth annual draft. Loaded lines right now. We will take 10 at a time. I will let you know as those 10 are complete. You can also just continue to call 877-996-6369. As I said, we get two free spaces because I don't want somebody screwing it up, and it seems to be essentially a foregone conclusion. So we begin with Trevor Lawrence, number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we should have pick one, a win for the Outkick draft out there. All right, let me say this. Right now, FanDuel.com/Clay, you bet $5, you win $100. 20-1 payout, that is free money for new users. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Clay. If you have already signed up for FanDuel, go find your mom, your grandma, your dad, your friend, whoever it is, tell them you got $100 free at FanDuel.com/Clay. Maybe they'll share some of their winnings with you. In the second spot, the Jets are going to pick Zach Wilson. All right? That is two straight free spaces for us. I will now begin the draft with the first pick that is unclear, that is uncertain, that we do not know 100% what is going to happen. And we have been talking about this for weeks, ever since the San Francisco 49ers made the move up to number three overall. I believe they are going to select Mac Jones from Alabama. He has now become a fairly substantial favorite in the third overall spot over Trey Lance and Justin Fields. So I have got Mac Jones going number three overall. All right, Danny G, you now have the fourth pick in the Outkick listener draft.
All right, Clay, I know it's early in the draft, but my team can't believe this kid is still available.
Yes.
He's an instant starter. All he does is make plays. His catch radius is elite. Matt Ryan and the entire Falcons offense is going to be elevated. Trevor Lawrence might be the best quarterback in this draft, but I'm getting the best overall player with the fourth pick in the 2021 Outkick listener mock draft. Team G selects Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida.
All right. We've got a lot of money, Dub and I do, as well as a lot of Fox Bet Live TV money on this pick. So Kyle Pitts goes 4 overall. Dub, you now have the 5th selection for the Cincinnati Bengals. Who are you picking?
Reunited, and it feels so good. The Cincinnati Bengals are taking Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU, reuniting him with his former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Joe Burrow. I like this pick.
Yeah, I love this pick. I think we have a pretty good chance to go 5 for 5 there. All right, so the first 5 picks are in. Up next, Eddie Garcia. You are picking 6th overall, theoretically, for the Miami Dolphins.
Well, let's keep the theme going. A reunion as well between a quarterback and someone he threw to in college, another wide receiver. Will it be Devontae Smith or will it be Jalen Waddle? I am selecting, with the number 6 pick for the Miami Dolphins, wide receiver Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. I think he's a bigger play receiver than Devontae Smith, a little more size, and he and Tua had a rapport when they were together at Alabama.
Yeah, I like that pick. Remember, Devontae Smith said that he liked Mac Jones more than Tua, which I actually think could end up hurting him if the Dolphins go with a receiver at 6 overall. I agree with you that I think they take Jalen Waddle. By the way, in my mock draft, we're not going to do trades here, so I don't want people calling in and being like, so-and-so. I actually think that there's a decent chance someone trades up. The Dolphins trade back, and that's one of the quarterbacks, either Trey Lance, who I would predict, or Justin Fields. All right, Roberto, you are picking 7th for the woebegone Detroit Lions. Can you change their poor fortunes in the past?
All right, with the 7th pick in the 2021 Outkick mock draft, the Detroit Lions select Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State.
I don't think that's a bad pick. It's interesting. Dan Campbell, with the first pick of his coaching career with the Detroit Lions, would not stun me if he wants to send a message with a tough defensive pick. So you have got Micah Parsons off the board. All right, Dub. Now we are training. We can turn down the music, I think, in the background now. I think so I can hear, make sure we don't get screwed up, because inevitably the callers are going to make all sorts of ridiculous decisions. All right, so now we are going to the callers with the 8th overall pick. The callers are now selecting for the Carolina Panthers. Who is up first, Dub?
We got Larry in Virginia.
Larry, don't screw it up. You're the first caller pick here in the Outkick mock draft. Who are you taking on behalf of the Carolina Panthers?
Penei Sewell, offensive lineman, Oregon.
All right, that's not a bad play. All right, Penei Sewell.
Protect Sam Darnold.
Protect Sam Darnold, a guy that, honestly, there's a lot of talk the Bengals might take, and he's the first offensive lineman off the board at number 8 overall. All right, who is drafting now, a Dub, with the 9th overall pick on behalf of the Denver Broncos?
We got Dominique in California.
Dominique, who are you picking for the Broncos? Oh, no. I can't even hear what Dominique has going on in the background.
Yeah, he listens to
the
radio.
Literally got one caller who was capable of actually making a pick. Drop Dominique. This is what I'm talking about. After my lecture at the end of the second hour, we literally had one caller actually manage to do this efficiently. All right, who's up next, Dub?
All right, let's see here. We got Anthony in Indiana.
Anthony in Indiana, you are drafting on behalf of the Denver Broncos. Who do you take?
All right, I'm glad I could trade up with Dominique, and I'm going to take Justin Fields at quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
I think that's a solid pick. Thank you. Thank you for being ready to go, Anthony. This is like when the Vikings, I think it was the Vikings, skipped whoever it was, the Raiders. Was it the Raiders who didn't get their pick in time? We had Dominique ready to go, and then he just got skipped by Anthony. Justin Fields overall, the number 9 pick. I think there's a decent chance of that. I thought there was a better chance of it. before the Broncos had made the trade for Teddy Bridgewater. But Justin Fields goes 9 overall to the Broncos. In the 10 spot, the Dallas Cowboys are now on the clock. Dub, who is making the pick for the Cowboys?
We got Ramstead Ralph in the Adirondacks making this selection.
All right, Adirondacks, Ramstead Ralph. Who you got for me?
Clay, my man, long-time listener, third time calling. I actually don't have a pick for you. I know you demand and expect perfection from everyone. However, how do you expect the listeners to get it right? The teams don't even get it right. What the hell? I don't even know what to say. I mean...
Wow, this is like, all right, I think we got to drop him.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. This isn't the Oscars. Did you notice that the Oscars had the worst ratings in the history of movies? 9.85 million people watched. Do you know why? Because people got the microphone and they said all sorts of ridiculous things that have nothing to do with the movies. We're in the draft. I understand that some of you believe that meat is murder. Nobody cares about meat is murder right now, all right? I understand that some of you out there have really strong opinions on fracking. Nobody cares about fracking right now. We just want the Dallas Cowboys fracking pick. That's what we want here.
What did you say?
I said I said the
dump
fracking
button.
Pick. All right, the 10th pick overall. This is, by the way, at best we're going 50% on callers so far. Who is drafting for the – and this is a big team. I would think there would be a lot of demand for the Dallas Cowboy pick. Who we got?
We may have a division rival making this selection with Kevin in New York.
Kevin in New York, you're drafting potentially on the hated Dallas Cowboys if you happen to be a Giants fan.
Okay, with the 10th selection, the Dallas Cowboys select Patrick Surtain Jr., defensive back from the University of Alabama, Crimson Tide.
That's a good pick.
Nice.
Surtain is right now the favorite to be the first defensive back off the board. Some momentum for J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. We'll see what ends up happening. But Surtain has been one of the top targets for many mock drafts for the Dallas Cowboys in some time. So, solid bounce back position there as we continue to roll through. Let me pull up my list here. With the 11th overall pick, I believe we are now going, if I'm not mistaken, to the New York Giants, who is drafting for the Giants number 11 overall, Dub.
We have Mark in South Carolina.
Mark in South Carolina, who do the Giants select?
Clay, the Giants are taking J.C. Horn, cornerback, South Carolina Gamecocks. Go Cocks!
There you go. It was good timing for the South Carolina guy to be able to go grab J.C. Horn. And so the question had been, by the way, the Giants going to potentially go grab some offensive help for Daniel Jones. Just announced, by the way, they had picked up the fifth-year option for Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley expected to be healthy, back on the field, ready to roll. Let's go for the Philadelphia Eagles making the number 12 overall selection. Dub is who?
We got Randy in Ohio.
Randy in Ohio. Who are the Eagles selecting?
Hey, Clay, I think the Eagles are taking a young up-and-comer Ligma out of UCNC.
They're taking who?
Ligma. Clay.
Who did he say?
He told a bad joke.
Yeah, I can't even say. So
yeah.
Yeah. So the callers, I'm not very impressed with you guys so far. All right? This is serious business. We want to get a hug from Roger Goodell because we've done such an incredible job for the mock draft. And so far, the callers have not distinguished themselves. All right, who's up next?
All right, we got Corey in Virginia.
Corey in Virginia, you're drafting for the Eagles. Who you got?
Thank you, Clay. I've got the Eagles drafting Devonta Smith out of Alabama.
I like the pick. Thank you for making a play there. I do like the pick. Look, you've got Jalen Hurts, who is your presumptive starting quarterback. You have not had, so far, a really reliable weapon for him at wideout or, frankly, for Carson Wentz in the last couple of years. I think this is a really solid pick. I believe Jalen Waddle will be off the board. Certainly, Jamar Chase is going to be off the board. And then I think there's a decent little drop here after the receivers. Devontae Smith going 12th overall. The Chargers are now up on the draft board. Chargers had a good season with Justin Herbert, finished 7-9, despite the fact that they seemed to lose all 9 of those games on the final play. 877-996-6369 is our phone number, by the way. One more pick here coming up, or maybe one, two, or a couple, and then we're going to go to break and we'll reload with the phone lines. Who's up to draft for the Chargers, Dub?
Yeah, let's go two more. And for the Chargers, we got Sam in California.
Sam in Cali, good timing. You are drafting on behalf of the Chargers in the illustrious Outkick listener draft. Number 13 overall, who are you grabbing?
Well, the Chargers are taking Rashad Slater to protect old Herbert.
That's a good pick. That's a well done. I mean, look, I think you try to protect Herbert. The expectation is there are two elite tackles in this draft. We already had Penei Sewell go number 8 overall to the Carolina Panthers. Now Rashawn Slater. Dad, by the way, played 8 years in the NBA. Reggie Slater, some of you may remember him, Northwestern tackle. A lot of people believe he can be a linchpin for whatever offensive line he joins for a very long time. And so the Chargers go with Rashawn Slater, number 13 overall. I think that is a very solid pick for them. So far, the actual picks, I think, are fairly solid. Last pick here before we go take our break and reload the phone lines. The Minnesota Vikings on the clock. Who is drafting for them, Dub?
We got Mike in New York.
Mike in New York. The Vikings on the clock. Who you got?
I think I got Jalen Phillips. Might as well go there.
Jalen Phillips on behalf of the Minnesota Vikings, and the first 14 picks are in.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We are up to number 15 on the Outkick listener draft, the fifth annual Outkick listener draft, and let me just make it clear to you, if you're just waking up with us, here are the picks that have already come in. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase. That was the first five. Then we went with Jalen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Penei Sewell, Justin Fields, and Patrick Surtain Jr. That is the top 10. J.C. Horn, Devontae Smith, Rashawn Slater, and Jalen Phillips. First 14 picks off the board. By the way, everybody out there listening in the crew, you can object immediately if you hear a pick and believe it is far too outlandish. In other words, if somebody's dad calls in and tries to draft their son who's not projected to be drafted in the first round, we can throw an Outkick listener flag and not allow that pick to proceed. All right, so here we are. Dub, are we set? Are we ready to go back to the phone lines? Oh, yeah, sorry. We got an Outkick VIP. You can sign up for the Outkick VIP and get all sorts of great stuff, including I'm back to signing copies of my book. I've signed like 10,000 of these things. If you go to outkick.com/VIP, when we open up the phone lines, you can skip ahead of the line. We're going down to Dallas. Who we got, Danny G?
Jacob in Dallas.
Jacob, you're drafting for the New England Patriots. Who's your pick?
Hey, what's going on, Clay? I've got the Patriots taking Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick. Thanks for being a VIP. If he were to fall to the New England Patriots at 15, you have to think that they would be ecstatic and that Bill Belichick would run in that card as fast as he possibly could at 15 overall. Worth mentioning, there are reports out there that the Patriots are preparing an offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, the former pick of the New England Patriots before. Already tweets this morning that the 49ers are expecting there to be an active market in available trade offers for Jimmy Garoppolo. That is worth paying attention to as the day progresses. All right, the Arizona Cardinals, the incredibly good-looking Cliff Kingsbury on the charts, getting competition from the Rams for the best draft location, the Rams in Malibu. I don't know how many of you have been able to see the Rams setup, but it is pretty fantastic. Arizona Cardinals picking 16th overall. Dub, who you got?
We got Andrew in Ohio.
Andrew in Ohio for the Arizona Cardinals. Who is your pick?
Wyatt Davis, Ohio State.
Wyatt Davis. Now, I'm going to confess to not being a Wyatt Davis expert. Is this too high of a position for Wyatt Davis?
Yeah, we are looking that up right now.
Somebody look it up. We have a pause in the draft. I am not I look at a lot of draft selections. 16 for Wyatt Davis. We might need to throw the flag here because I have not seen him. We need like a
I want to say that I've seen his name in the second round.
Yeah. I don't see him in first round mock draft.
Yeah, I mean, he's an offensive guard to go 16 overall. I think is pretty aggressive. He's in a two round mock draft, but I am sorry. I believe we are. Maybe that's a relative of Wyatt Davis trying to get some early buzz going for him nationwide. First time we are throwing the flag on the Wyatt Davis selection, and we are going back to the board. 16th overall pick still on the clock are the Arizona Cardinals. All right, Dub, who we got? And by the way, somebody put a star by Wyatt Davis, because if he ends up going like 16th overall, we will have to apologize. Because what if that was like somebody who's like, I know the Arizona Cardinals, we got an amazing scoop there. They're in love with Wyatt Davis, and I just went ahead and torpedoed it. If that happens, we will allow him to call back in and take a victory lap. But right now, we are slamming that pick as being unworthy.
I did find something here that says he may be selected at the end of round one.
Okay. But so, he's not going to go midway through the draft.
I would not think so. Yeah.
All right. So who's up next, Dub?
All right. Back to the board for the Arizona Cardinals. We got Adam in Indiana.
Adam, who you got?
I got Colin from Tulsa, linebacker.
I have no idea what he said.
David Collins, Tulsa linebacker.
David Collins, the linebacker from Tulsa.
Okay, yes. Yeah. That's a very solid pick. All right. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear him. Zaven Collins, all right, 16 overall. By the way, one of our outkick writers, Clint Lamb, listening. He is a mock draft extraordinaire. You, Clint, text me. I will make you the default. He does mock drafts. He did the outkick mock draft. He follows all these. Thank you, Dub, for taking a phone call while I was talking live on the air. Very well done there by you. Clint Lamb is saying hi for Wyatt, day two projection most places.
He's our eye in the sky.
He is our eye in the sky, throwing flags as necessary. You just heard Dub fielding calls live on the radio. Very well done by him to have Mike still on. The Raiders are now picking. Do you want Danny G, and should we allow you and Roberto to consult and draft on behalf of the Raiders here? I think that's fair.
If you want.
Yeah, I don't think you have a lot going for you otherwise as a Raiders fan, so I'm trying to give you a gift, and I know you and Roberto are big Raiders fans. So do you guys want to discuss among each other who the Raiders should take?
Yeah, I wanted Micah Parsons, but unfortunately Roberto took him off the board at 7.
Yeah. So, again, kind of a little bit of a reach maybe because most people have Micah Parsons outside the top 10, but he could fit the culture that Dan Campbell wants to inculcate there with the Lions. So what would you guys suggest the Raiders should do at 17?
I'm thinking Trevon Merrig because the Raiders obviously need some back-end help there with their defense, and that could move Abrams to strong safety where he would be better off, especially with that Gus Bradley defense now in the picture. So I'm going to say Trevon Merrig.
Okay, that is the pick. There you got it, the Raiders. Dub, we are back. The Miami Dolphins, in theory, with their second first-round selection, sitting at number 18. Who's picking for the Dolphins?
We got Jeff in Cincinnati.
Jeff, you are on the clock for the Miami Dolphins. Who have you got?
Thank you for sparing me the dubious pleasure of picking for the Raiders. I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, edge rusher.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that pick. This is the first defensive end to come off the board, if I'm not mistaken. The Dolphins, obviously, with Brian Flores getting remarkably better. The question with them still with Tua. Azeez Ojulari is a stud rusher out of Georgia. The idea is that as a kind of a rush specialist, he could be very much of a help. I like that pick. First defensive end off the board at 19, the guy, by the way, that they expect to be the first defensive end off the board, still out there, available for everybody. Up next, the Washington football team. They got to 7-9. They are now all a part of Fitzmagic as Ron Rivera has bought into the quarterback who has played, I believe, now for 8 of the 32 different NFL franchises. The never-ending wonder that is Harvard graduate Ryan Fitzpatrick. You have to mention that he went to Harvard every time you mention him. The Washington football team is up next. Dub, who's drafting for them?
We got Max in South Carolina.
Max in South Carolina. Who does the WFT select?
Clay, I got to call an audible. I apologize, brother. But first of all, I want to say thank you for being a voice of reason in a sea of insanity.
Well, I appreciate that.
subject than most topics. Thank you very much. Look, I got a bold prediction for y'all. The Niners are going to give the number three pick to Atlanta and Jimmy G, and they're going to get Matt Ryan plus another. I don't know who the other is, and it doesn't matter at that point.
You're saying who's going to do that?
The Niners will
the Niners, the after trading up to three, are going to trade with Atlanta at four? That would be a huge upset. That is a very bold prediction. Yeah.
To get Matt Ryan plus one.
That would be amazing.
We'd love that one to be Julio Jones, but that's not going to happen.
So that is a heck of a prediction. Who have you got for Washington?
I don't have anybody for Washington. Okay. I apologize.
No, that's fine. Thank you. I would criticize him. I would criticize him.
But he complimented you.
But he complimented me. Yeah. It's like, you know, your wife may not agree with all of your opinions, but if you begin them with, man, I don't know that you've ever looked better than you look tonight, she's probably going to get seduced by the compliment. Just an idea out there. Well, you know, the opposite of that would be, honey, you know, since the pandemic, you look really fat in those jeans. Doesn't matter what you say after that. You could cure global hunger and you could lead to world peace if you started off that conversation by saying, yeah, those jeans look really fat on you today. Ever since the pandemic, you put on some weight. Doesn't matter what comes after. Where you start matters. He started with a compliment. I don't even remember what the rest of what he said. I was too busy beaming. Dub, who's up next for the Washington football team drafting?
All right, we got Andy in Delaware.
Andy in Delaware. What do you got for me, Andy?
Jeremiah Kamara.
JOK.
Yes, that is a solid pick. Thank you. So far we're through 19 up to the Chicago Bears. The Bears have not had a quarterback that anybody likes. If you're a Chicago fan, bit of an exaggeration here, since Jim McMahon. And so another year, another opportunity not to, draft a quarterback. The Bears are sitting at 20. They went 8-8, which has been a staple of many Bears teams for the past several years. Who is the selection at the 20th pick, Dub, who's drafting for the Bears?
We got Mac in New York.
Mac in New York.
Man, I was hoping to get the Steelers, but if I got a pick for Chicago, I think I'm going to have to go with probably Craig Newsom the second, maybe?
All right. Was it Craig? And I look,
Greg Newsom.
As we move down the flow chart, I am not an – I was focused on the top 10. I am an expert on the top 10. I know who should be drafted in like the top 20. We now are to 20, so I'm telling on myself a little bit here. I've not spent a lot of time looking at the bottom part of the draft boards.
That's not a bad pick. Newsom is a top cornerback. He's out of Northwestern.
Yeah, and we still that's the guy that I've seen projected a few times for the Titans. So the 20th overall pick for the Bears. Yeah. All right. Colts are now on the board at 21.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All right, here are the first 20 so far. I'm going through in rapid order. You are in the middle of the Outkick listener draft. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase. That was the first five. Followed by Jalen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Penei Sewell, Justin Fields, Patrick Surtain. That was the top 10. J.C. Horn, Devontae Smith, Rashawn Slater, Jalen Phillips, Trey Lance. That's the next five through 15. Then we had Zaven Collins, Trayvon Merrick, Azeez Ojulari, Joe Kamara, Greg Newsom. I think I've got all those written down correctly. All right. We are on right now to the 21st overall pick, and it belongs to the Indianapolis Colts. Dub, are we ready or do we need to take breaks for
Indianapolis?
Yes.
We're ready. We got Aaron in Ohio.
Aaron in Ohio. Who you got for 21?
Edge rusher from Washington, Joe Tryon.
Joe Tryon. All right. You know, I still think the best edge rusher, at least according to odds makers, is out there. I am going to draft for the Titans here in a new wrinkle. If you know the team and know their risks, I actually think the Titans are going to trade back and take this guy because I don't know necessarily they're going to take him at 22 overall. I think the Titans are going to take from Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore. They want to pair him with with A.J. Brown, both former Ole Miss teammates. In fact, both guys who pretended to pee on the field against Mississippi State, ironically enough. I think the Titans will trade back at 22 and end up with Elijah Moore. They lost Corey Davis, one of their top wide receivers, former number five pick. I think the Titans trade back but end up in the first round taking Elijah Moore. Okay, the Jets overall at number 23. Who's picking for the Jets?
We got Ben in Texas.
Ben in Texas. What you got for me here?
Jets are going to pick Elijah Tucker, guard from USC.
Elijah Tucker.
Vera Tucker.
Good place there to Mira Tucker, you said?
Vera Tucker.
Vera Tucker. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I know Vera Tucker. Am I old or can I just not hear anymore?
Don't know. Maybe we got to turn your headset up.
No, I'm good. Otherwise, I can hear everybody else. I can't hear any callers. All right, last pick before we go to break, and then we'll reload the phone lines for the final eight. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. Who is their pick, Dub?
We got Mac in New York.
Mac in New York. Who are the Steelers taking?
Go Steelers, baby. Waiting all morning for this pick. You know who we're going to go with. We're going to go with Mr. Harris.
Yeah, I like the pick. Najee Harris. I think that's – thank you for the call. I think that's a great pick. Look, the Steelers couldn't run the ball very well at all. Their offensive line may still have issues. Ben Roethlisberger, major issues with just being able to have a balanced offense in some way. Najee Harris, great out of the backfield. I think that it will be – I really do think this pick is going to be legit. If the Steelers draft at 24, I really do believe Najee Harris is going to end up being their pick and – that on top of that, that he's going to make a difference out of the backfield, that he's going to be a solid addition to that offense. I think he can be Le'Veon Bell-like for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.